Alan, you're very welcome to In Business and thanks for joining me.
My pleasure to be here and thanks for having me, Amber.
I'm delighted to have you on the show. So you're a strategy consultant, so you might talk us through a little bit about the work you do maybe and give us a little background to you as well, because I know you have Kerry Links as well.
I do have Kerry Links and it'll never leave my system, thankfully. My dad actually was from Milltown and I still have family there, first cousins, the Griffin family. And yeah, so I don't get down to Milltown as often as I'd like to, but certainly childhood memories are very fond indeed from summers and whatever else in Kerry. It was a much longer drive back in those days, Amber.
It was, absolutely.
Anyway, So my business, I'm a change management consultant and that includes strategy. So for more than 35 years now, Amber, I've been working with all sorts of organizations around the world in every sector, from retail to hospitality to IT sector to manufacturing to food business to oil and gas. It doesn't matter, whatever industry. You see, the principles that I advise on, which are around strategy and culture and leadership, they transfer across all industries, Amber. And, you know, so if there's an issue about how to be a great leader, well, it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Leadership is leadership, same with culture and same with strategy. So yeah, that's what I've been doing for 35 years. And I've been very fortunate to work with some amazing brands. I mean, in this country, right across industry and indeed in the UK. I do a lot of work in the Middle East, actually, too, Amber. I've got family living in Dubai, particularly, and they're having a very, very tough time this week. I mean, it's a shaky, scary time. But anyway, thankfully, they're all safe and well. Yeah, so I spend a lot of my time in the Middle East as well, doing what I do. And that's a quick overview and high-level summary.
Okay, fantastic. And I'm glad to hear that your family members are over in Dubai are safe.
Thank
because
you.
It is a very stressful time for people over there at the moment as well.
It is.
Obviously, you probably will have some impact on your own career as well, I can imagine.
Well, it's interesting. I was due to speak at a conference and that has been postponed, thankfully, not cancelled. So yeah, I think while we're going through, now it is Ramadan right there at the moment as well, which is like our Christian Lent period. Mm-hmm. Though the Muslim have a Ramadan, which is similar. So they fast for 40 days in the daylight and so on. So that obviously curtails movement anyway. But I was due to speak at a conference and that has been postponed. And I was also due to start a major project with another client. And again, it's been postponed until people settle down. And hopefully this awful war will be swift and precise and things will hopefully get back to normal. But look, who knows? And until they do, I think people will be uncertain and they'll just be, you know, just treading water, I think, Amber, for the time being.
Absolutely. And as you said, look, hopefully it will be resolved and things will go back to normal and everyone will be kept safe as well. That's the most important thing. But In terms of your own career as well, I know you're very active in terms of, you know, continuing to learn and to evolve, I suppose, to the world that we're living in as well. And you've completed a doctorate. You're in your 60s. I'll mention that as well. But tell us,
don't go too close to that now.
But what prompted you maybe to undertake this challenge? Because it is a significant one to take on. And congratulations to you.
It is. Well, thank you. And I know it's kind of bonkers. But let me tell you, I'm in the business of change management. Now, what that means is that organizations are going through change all the time. And, you know, a really strong example is the world of retail, where online e-commerce has now become a huge part of the retail portfolio. And that all came on the back of the internet in the 90s. And now since then, the pace of change, the ambiguity, the volume of change is growing exponentially, Amber. And it just means that organizations need to be agile and ready for the change, to be able to make sense of the change and then to adapt themselves. And let's not even go there with regard to AI and what's further coming down the tracks. But that just gives an example of change. And if leaders don't adapt and stay abreast of change, now you can never get ahead of it, because there's always some huge deep pocket investors in places like California and Silicon Valley who are all the time trying to crack codes and crack businesses. And like, think about Uber, think about Netflix, think of Airbnb. Mm-hmm. They've just disrupted industries completely. And that's massive change. So for us here in Ireland, it's very hard to get ahead of that, but you have to be close to following it at least. And that requires learning. And I guess then I've always had an appetite for being fresh and relevant. After all, if I'm going in to help a client to develop their strategy, Amber, I need to have a sense of the big picture and what's going on in the world. I don't need to be an expert, I don't need to know the nuts and bolts of AI, for example, or e-commerce, but I absolutely do need to know that it's there and the implications of that change for any given organization. So yeah, that just meant all through the years I needed to be staying abreast of what was going on. And you know, Amber, I've had this itch that I wanted to scratch for the last 20 years. I did an MBA, I think in the 90s, if I remember. Yes, it was early 90s. And that in itself changed my thinking. And I kind of got that appetite for learning, formal learning at that time. But then, you know, life took over and blah, blah, blah. And then as life went on, I then had this feeling that I wanted to do a doctorate. But I always felt, oh my God, it's a big deal. You know, these Ivy League places, you know, you've got potentially 4 to 7 years of toil and trouble to get through it. But there are now faster ways and other ways to do doctorate. So I did that and I started a few years ago. I decided, okay, I'm going to do it now. And just to prove to myself the fact that I'm in my 60s, I have no intention of ever retiring. But I just wanted to just do it to, in some ways, validate all the work that I've been doing as a consultant. You know, Amber, consultants develop all sorts of business models through their career, and that's fine. We all do that. But I wanted to test them and prove that were those models fair, reasonable, and accurate. And that's what I did the doctorate to do. So, yeah, great crack
Fantastic.
altogether.
I can imagine great crack and a lot of hard work as well, but it's a great achievement. And it sounds like as well, you know, through your own work that it's important to stay relevant. I think you mentioned that as well, especially in the changing world. You mentioned AI, I suppose, and we're all trying to keep up with the constant changes that are coming, I suppose, and it's always evolving as well. But it seems to me like that, you know, to have a successful career and a career that you actually really enjoy as well, that this learning feeds a huge part of
Absolutely.
that.
Well, exactly. And you know, what I didn't want to be is that alpha in the corner of the room, pretending to be a consultant who can help companies to develop a strategy without knowing what's going on. That just doesn't make sense. Now, it doesn't mean I have to be expert at everything. Like when it comes to the bytes and bits of a computer and how it works, I don't need to know that. I need to know the impact of IT and how it can help an organization to be more efficient and productive. Likewise with manufacturing processes, likewise with finance. I don't need to be the expert in the room on everything, but I certainly need to know what's going on. And that's what learning gives you. And by the way, and when I say learning, I'm talking about there's a number of ways of learning. You can be the passive learner, you know, watching and being a good observer of the world around you. There's nothing wrong with that. But I wanted to formalize it and just be a bit more organized and structured in the learning, Amber, so that I could, you know, the doctorate was that vehicle to do that. But that meant more to me at this time. I just wanted to just really be structured about it so that I could be sure and I can test things in a way rather than just trying to form an opinion after watching a YouTube video or going to a conference. I wanted to test things. And that's what the doctorate gave me.
Yeah, brilliant. It sounds fantastic. And I think as well, it kind of touches on my last point a little bit as well. But, you know, no matter what career we're all in, you know, we can get very used to the routine and the monotony that it brings as well, especially after, you know, being in the same one potentially for, you know, a couple of years or a couple of decades, depending, I suppose, on what situation a person might be in. But in terms of staying mentally sharp even as well, this probably really helps in terms of that lifelong learning, and it keeps you, as you said, like up to date and abreast of things, but it also keeps the mind active as well and keeps you, I suppose, at your best so that you can enjoy your career for as long as you want it. Because I know you mentioned there that you don't yourself want to retire ever, that you want to keep working. You obviously enjoy it that much.
Yeah, I do. And you know, that's exactly it. I mean, that lifelong learning, keeping the brain, but people talk about the value of doing a crossword and great, bring it on kind of thing. And yes, keeping your brain active. And I'm not a medical doctor to be able to discern what exactly one needs to do to keep the brain. But I know just at a, in a, in a general way, learning is a big part of that. But you know, Amber, I also feel that this notion of retirement is fake news. Look, many people want to retire and then do their thing and do their gardening, do their art class and bring it on if that's what they want to do. But if you look at the other end of the generation spread, I do a lot of work with young people because I just love watching young people develop, and I'm so supportive of young people and the digital natives who are now in their like in their teens and so on and early 20s. And there's a lot of negativity about them unfairly, I think. But when I'm talking to them, do you remember the day? Well, you're too young to remember this, but back in the day, Amber, somebody might say to you, "Well, Alan, what do you want to do when you grow up?" And it was a singular question with the expectation of a singular answer, like work in a bank, be in the civil service, or be a carpenter, or whatever it might be. But now, whenever I'm talking to young people, I say, What things do you want to do when you grow up? Because it's this multi-skilling notion, the multi-career notion, I completely support and encourage, and I'm a fan of. But the same thing applies at the other end of the scale. Now, that's daunting. I understand, and it's daunting for people of an age who have been through a singular career in their life, and now when they approach retirement, to even consider something else. It's not easy, but I would challenge anybody to just think differently. And what else could you do? Okay, you've retired, formally retired from your job, but are there other things that, given the skills that you've accumulated through your career, how could some of those skills be adaptable, whether it be a charity, whether it be paid employment, whether it be fun activity, whatever, but just to recognize that you have built up a range of skills. So even if your job has been behind a machine in a factory floor throughout those years, there'll be skills you'll have learned. It could be around teamwork, it could be around decision making, it could be around leadership even, that are still adaptable when you get older. Not necessarily in the on another factory with all the responsibilities that come with that, but the skills that you've accumulated are adaptable if you just think about it.
Yeah, and it's lovely to have the opportunity to try something maybe that you always wanted to do because you have built up that pool of skills, I suppose, but maybe mightn't have had the confidence to jump careers maybe over the years, but having the time now potentially to take on something new, a lovely challenge as well.
I think so. And people might say, well, look, Alan, you're lucky. You look at the world that you work in and with all these industries, so that gives you great spread. It does, and I'm very fortunate and I'm privileged. But at the same time, every single person that has gone through a career has similar opportunities. All it takes is a challenge to the mindset. So as you go for your hill walk up Carn Tuathail, and just to think about yourself and what skills have you accumulated in your time, I guarantee you the list would be longer than one page when you think about it. Everybody, no matter what job they've done, has accumulated skills that are transferable. So I would always say, go for it, go for it. Just think about it. And it doesn't have to be paid employment. It could be in the local charity or church or community or whatever it might be. But you have skills, and those skills are very, very valuable. And they shouldn't just be put in your memory bank and just say, oh, back in the day. They can be used if you feel that way inclined, Amber.
Yeah. And just before we finish up, I wanted to ask you as well, I suppose about the digital world that we are living in, because it can be daunting, I think, no matter what age a person is, when they hear of AI or the different, I suppose, changes that, it's constantly evolving, I suppose. So it can be daunting no matter what the age is. But it's good, isn't it, I suppose, to put yourself in that position to try and learn it and to learn something new, as you mentioned as well, because there's no fear, I suppose, when you're familiar with something and you have that learning behind you.
Absolutely. And you know what I would say to anybody that feels daunted and feels a little bit anxious about all of this? Sit down with a young kid. Just sit beside them and ask them to show you. I guarantee you, any child that you know will have, for example, ChatGPT as an app on their phone. Sit with them and say, show me. They don't have to put it in their own hand. They just say to the child, the young person, show me. Give me an example of how ChatGPT works. For example, they might say, look, young Johnny, write me a poem. And let's just talk about that. And then let young Johnny show that older person how it works. And they'll be fascinated by the technology on the one hand. And it'll help them, I believe, to overcome this anxiety and uncertainty about what is going on here at all. Just sit with that young person and get the phone between you and let them show you, because they'll be thrilled. You'll build rapport. They'll be highly impressed with you and the fact that you're asking them, and they will love showing you. And that's just a starting point for me. Anybody that is daunted, just sit down and have a look. It can't do
Absolutely.
any harm whatsoever.
No, absolutely not. That's great advice. So, as you mentioned, the doctorate is completed now and you're putting it into good use through your own work. What's next, or what plans have you next, Alan?
Well, you're going to think this is totally bonkers, but I'm actually doing a second doctorate now. That's another story another time, but I am doing a second one because, I mean, there's particular learning I want to do with a different college, because I've been invited by one of the business schools to be a supervisor, they call it professor, to coach other students of any age through their journey. Because, going back to school after whatever number of years, 30, 40, 20 years, can be daunting. And it's not literally going back to school. It can all be done online if you choose to. And I've been invited by this Swiss-based business school to be a professor on their faculty. So, but that will involve working one-on-one. So only in the last few weeks I have been invited to work with some people one-on-one to help them on their journey by getting their own doctorate. And you ask me what's next? That's next. And that's why I'm doing the second doctorate, so I can understand the process for this Swiss one, that I can then give better guidance to any students that want to do it.
Brilliant. Well, fair play to you. It sounds really interesting, actually. And it sounds like something you definitely would enjoy doing. But look, best of luck with it. Yeah. And Ellen, thanks so much for taking the time to join me this evening. It's been lovely to talk to you.
All right, Amber.